This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dearest brothers and sisters, welcome. This is the continuation of Tafsir Surah Yusuf. This is our 20th lesson, and we've got to the part of the story where things are falling into place. There's a plan that is unraveling before our eyes. This is where Yusuf alayhi salam, the brothers are now coming to him in Egypt. They've come once already. What did they come for? They came for food. Okay, they came for food. On that visit, Yusuf alayhi salam said to them, well, one of your brothers who you told me you have is not here. Next year you said that you had a brother. I want you to bring him along. He also gave him incentives to bring him along. He also made a threat that if you don't bring him along, فَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ, then don't bother coming back here again. So the challenge now for the brothers was to convince Ya'qub alayhi salam to let Binyamin, their brother, go with them the following year. They weren't able to do that according to one view. However, Yusuf alayhi salam, his plan was, everything they gave me in exchange for the food, put it back in their luggage. And so after they told Dad, can we ask you for Binyamin to come with us next year? Ya'qub alayhi salam said, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But when he saw that the brothers found the merchandise back in their bags once again, he became convinced that perhaps this is actually, the brothers, my son's actually being truthful this time, as opposed to the time with Yusuf alayhi salam. And so he gives them a piece of advice. He says, okay, you're going to go. Don't enter from one bab, from one gate, enter from many gates. We spoke about the wisdom behind that. And he also said, well, even if you take my advice and adhere to it, who knows, it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now they leave, okay? They leave and they're going back to Egypt now for the second time. Second trip to Egypt. What's interesting is that after this trip, they're going to go back to Palestine home again. And then they're all going to come all together the third time round. So that means there's three trips in this story. Three trips. The shirt. In the beginning, Yusuf alayhi salam's shirt is taken. The shirt, a shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, makes another appearance here. Yeah? What does it make another appearance? Oh, that's coming. There's already another appearance that it makes. Which is when? First time around, the brothers take it off Yusuf and they say to Dad, look, this is wolf ate him. Second time? Yes, it's to do with Imra'atul Aziz. When exactly?
When Imra'atul Aziz took the shirt off and then some man said if the shirt was taken off.
Very good. When the Shahid brings the shirt. He said, okay, look at Yusuf alayhi salam's shirt. It's torn from the back. A third time the shirt comes about again, which is Yusuf alayhi salam himself says, look, this is my shirt and I'll give it to you, my brothers. Cast it over the face of my father. Something else happens three times as well in this story. Three trips, three appearances of a shirt, and three something else. Very good. Three dreams. Yeah, three dreams. Dream of Yusuf Islam, dream of the two prisoners, dream of the king. Okay. So this is now. Where is it?
The two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alim
al-Hakim. Is it three times? It comes twice, I think.
Once in the middle.
Okay. Find me the three, inshallah. Yeah? Find me the three. Tayyib. So those are the three we know. Now this is the point of the story where the second trip now they're making back, this time with Binyamin with them. Let's recite, inshallah, these verses. They are verse number 69. We'll do verse 69, inshallah, to verse 76, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولما دخلوا على يوسف آوى إليه أخاه قال إني أنا أخوك فلا تبتئس بما كانوا يعملون فلما جهزهم بجهازهم جعل السقاية في رحل أخيه ثم أذن مؤذن أيتها العير إنكم لسارقون قالوا وأقبلوا عليهم ماذا تفقدون قالوا نفقد صواع الملك ولمن جاء به حمل بعير وأنا به زعيم قالوا تالله لقد علمتم ما جئنا لنفسد في الأرض وما كنا سارقين وما كنا سارقين قالوا فما جزاؤه إن كنتم كاذبين قالوا جزاؤه من وجد في رحله فهو جزاؤه كذلك نجزي الظالمين فبدأ بأوعيتهم قبل وعاء أخيه ثم استخرجها من وعاء أخيه كذلك كدنا ليوسف ما كان ليأخذ أخاه في دين الملك إلا أن يشاء الله نرفع درجات من نشاء وفوق كل ذي علم عليم. Okay, now this part of the story is very different to the first part of the story. You know, the first part of the story is very emotional, very serious, shocking, in fact. This part of the story is very different, okay? It's quite relaxed, it's a bit funny, and it's quite quite intriguing the way things are going to pan out in this part of the story. So, verse 69, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفَ آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَخَى. So when they entered upon Yusuf alayhi salam, meaning the brothers now come back to Egypt once again. They enter into Egypt and they are now in the presence of Yusuf alayhi salam for the second time. They don't know that. They think this is just a aziz. Awa ilayhi akha. What Yusuf alayhi salam does is awa to his brother, meaning the youngest of them, his blood brother Binyamin. Awa means to take someone out of harm's way. Yeah, take someone out of harm's way. So if you can just imagine now, they've all entered into the presence of Yusuf alayhi salam, and you know, as they are sitting, about to sit down or about to get comfortable to have a conversation with Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam just takes Binyamin to one side, okay, and he's going to say something to him. What does he say? قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكَ. He says, إِنِّي أَنَا. Indeed, me, I am your brother. So what does he do? He reveals himself to Binyamin. Yeah? This is a very emotional moment. Just imagine when was the last time he saw Binyamin. Yeah? Or maybe some said that Binyamin was in fact born afterwards. Wallahu a'lam. But a reunion like this is an emotional time. Now it's interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Yusuf alayhi salam didn't just take him to one side, awa, which means to take someone out of harm's way. As if Binyamin is not really safe with his brothers. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Well, because remember, anyone from the other mother, they don't like that. Yeah. They don't like Yusuf alayhi salam, and Binyamin, his younger brother, they don't like him either. So they haven't been really good to him either. Yeah, so that's why Yusuf immediately takes him to one side, you know, takes him out of their company, and then he lets him know what's going on. Inni, indeed me, ana, emphasizing again, ana akhuka, fala tabta'is. So don't tabta'is. Tabta'is comes from the root of bu's. Bu's means miserable, yeah? Like Allah says about Jahannam, bi'sal masir, what an evil, miserable returning place. May Allah save us from that. So, فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ fa of sababiyya. So now, you don't need to worry anymore. Meaning that, you know, before living life in Palestine with his brothers, he's been being treated really badly by the brothers. Yeah, he hasn't been treated well. They've been doing bad things to him as well. So now, he's in his company, he's told him who he is, he told him, look, you don't need to worry anymore. It's like a reunion. You can just imagine Yusuf alayhi salam, older brother, he's got his arm around his younger brother's shoulder, brothers maybe started to cry, and he goes, look, فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ, don't need to worry anymore, it's going to be alright. Yeah, بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, about which they have been doing. Now that can have two interpretations. Either he's saying, you don't need to worry about them anymore. يَعْمَلُونَ, what they've been doing, meaning, it's going to be okay now, you don't need to worry, they're not going to be able to harm you anymore, I'm here. Or bima ya'malun refers to Yusuf alayhi salam's servants. Because what's going to happen now is there's going to be a whole plan that's going to be put into action. Okay, and that's going to involve, like if you like, a staging of events. And Binyamin is going to be part of it. So Binyamin is going to be thinking, what's going on here? Someone was putting something inside my bag. Now they're calling us, you know, thieves. This is worrying. So Yusuf alayhi salam, look, don't worry about that. Okay. So he's, if you read between the lines, he's telling him what's going to happen now. Okay, there's a plan in motion. So, فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ فَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ. So, brothers, they're all there, and as last year, they have the camels loaded up. Yeah, they have the camels loaded up. So they give them their bida'ah. Give Yusuf alayhi salam the Aziz their commodities. Say, okay, could we have our shares now? So, فَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ. Their camels are loaded up. Now they're going to get the extra one, yeah? Because Binyamin's there as well. Now what happens is, either Yusuf alayhi salam himself does this, or he tells one of his servants, جَعَلَ السِّقَايَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ. To put the siqaya. Siqaya comes from the root of saqiya. Saqiya means to give someone something to drink. Okay, saqiya means to give someone something to drink. So the siqaya is that glass which somebody pours a drink into it for you. Now what type of glass is that? If it's a glass where somebody pours you a drink into, it's a glass belonging to someone who's rich, right? So the glass itself is a valuable glass. Okay, it's not just any old glass. It's not, you know, a kas, for example. No, this is a siqaya. It's one of those, you know, glasses that rich people have. And they don't pour the drink themselves. Somebody else pours it for them, yeah? جَعْلَ السِّقَايَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ. He puts it into the rahl, the bag of his own brother. Yeah? So most probably, this is Yusuf alayhi salam doing this himself. Okay? As things are being loaded up, one by one by one by one, Yusuf alayhi salam gets the siqaya and sneakily puts it inside the bag of his own brother. ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنْ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ. And then the muadhin, okay, muadhin means the caller. This caller, who is this caller? It's like the security, okay, the security personnel of Egypt. They're under the, you know, command of Yusuf alayhi salam. When the caravans are now leaving off, they're heading back out now, okay, they're making their departure. أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنْ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ. This security guy, he calls out, hey, old caravaneers, hold up. You know, like when you buy things in the supermarket, yeah, and it's got a tag on them, and you get out of the supermarket and then they've got the doors there with the sensors, you know, starts making that beeping sound, right? They don't have them back in those days. Yeah, they have a muadhin for that. Yeah, so the muadhin says, hang on a minute, something's not right. Ayyatu al-'ir. Okay, so what does he call out? Innakum lasariqoon. Indeed, you all, la sariqoon, la mutawqid, truly you are thieves. Huh? It's a big statement, isn't it? To say you're thieves. Now just imagine, if, okay, just imagine what a real thief would do. He steals something from the supermarket, okay, and now he's making his way out. And as he goes out, oh damn, it's got a tag on there, and the alarm system's going off. Security guard says, hey, thief. What's the thief going to do? He's going to run for it, isn't it? He's going to run. But look what happens next. Something strange happens, which is, قَالُوا وَأَقَبَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ قَالُوا, they all say, وَأَقَبَلُوا, wow of hal, meaning, whilst they're going to say this, they don't just, you know, they're going home, so like, he's calling out from behind, they don't just say, hey, what are you talking about? وَأَقَبَلُوا, so they turn around fully, yeah, they turn around fully, and what do they say? They don't say, what did we steal? Yeah, مَا سَرَقْنَا. Yeah? مَا الَّذِي سَرَقْنَا. What exactly do we steal? What they say? مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. Yeah? What have you guys lost? What have you guys lost? They don't say, what did we steal? What have you guys lost? That it sound like a thief to you. Would a thief do that? He wouldn't do that, would he? Which means that they haven't got a clue what's going on. They're not worried at all. We can turn around, we can go right back, we can ask them, and they don't even say, who stole what. They say, ماذا تفقدون, what have you lost? Oh, you can't have stolen, we can't have stolen anything, we haven't stolen anything. The only possibility is that you might have lost something. Yeah, you might have lost something. Now if we go back one ayah, there's a few questions that arise, okay, which Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has extensive kalam on, you know, statements on. And that is, إِنَّكُمْ لَسَّارِقُونَ. They have just been accused of being thieves. Are they thieves? Are they? They're not, are they? They haven't stolen the siqa, have they? So, but they're being accused of stealing. Which is, it's not really right, isn't it? You've kind of falsely accused someone there. Is that right to do that? It's not right to do that. The other thing is, we know this is a plan to keep Binyamin in Egypt, right? Which means that Yusuf alayhi salam, or the plan of Yusuf, is not just entailing saying something which is not true, which is innakum lasariqoon, but it also entails taking Binyamin away from Ya'qub alayhi salam. I mean, how is that going to affect Ya'qub when he hears that, and my second son is also now lost? Is he going to take it well? He's not going to take it well. I mean, that might just even kill him. Yeah? Kill him of grief. He's already grieving of Yusuf alayhi salam. The third thing, which is not as big as the first two, is that there's a mithaq. They've taken a covenant with their dad, which is, we're definitely going to bring him back in front of Allah. If Yusuf alayhi salam carries on like this, and Binyamin is taken from them, well, unintentionally, he's going to make them break their oath. Yeah, make them break their oath. So these are some questions that arise. Like, is it really right to do this, say, accuse someone of something when you know that they haven't done it? What about the implications this will have on his father, etc., etc.? We'll come to that, inshallah. Let's carry on the story though. So, قَالُوا وَأَقَبَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. So they turn around fully and say to the security, okay, of Egypt, مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. What is it exactly that you've lost? The security reply, قَالُوا نَفْقِدُ سُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ. We have lost. Yeah? Do you get this? They didn't say, you have stolen. Now they say, yeah, we have lost the suwa' of the Malik, translated as the cup of the king. Now what was the cup called in the previous ayah? Siqaya. And now what is it called? Suwa'. Yeah, a suwa'. And not just any suwa', the suwa' of the Malik. Yeah? So why the change of word? What does siqaya mean that suwa' doesn't? Well, the word suwa', which is referring to a cup, is no ordinary cup. Okay? The suwa', they said, can be made from gold or silver. So Yusuf alayhi salam's taken not just any cup, he's taken a very valuable cup. The other thing is that suwa' comes from the root of sa'. Sa' is an ancient measure. Yeah, what they used to, yani measure things with, you know, like you have a kg. Okay, in those days you used to have a su'a. The su'a is like the gold measuring cup that they measure things out of. Now in Egypt, think about it, okay? Like, everywhere suffering from famine. The only people that got food are Egypt. They're very proud of the fact that they are economically stable. And the icon, if you like, of their economic stability in these tough times is this su'a', this golden cup, which is the measure, meaning we're able to measure out food for all of you guys. So, on top of that, who does it belong to? The king. It belongs to the king. Whoa, Yusuf alayhi salam really is taking a big risk here. He's taking the cup of the nation that belongs to the king and he's put it inside the sack of his own brother. Risk, you know? That just makes you think, oh, it's a siqaya, okay. It's an expensive cup, but oh my God, it's a cup of the king. Come on, Yusuf. Subhanallah, what if this goes wrong? Yeah, it's the cup of the king. Suwa al-Malik. Okay. وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ. Okay. What happens is, the security guy says, look, I'm going to give the one who grasses on the other حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ, a camel load worth of reward. Okay. Security guy is basically making it even more interesting. He said, hold up all of you. Come here. We've lost something, okay? And it's something very valuable. Now, I'm not saying who it is exactly. I don't know who it is out of you guys. But I'll tell you what. If one of you comes and grasps on the other one, I'll give you a camel load, yeah, of food. Now, remember, in those times, money doesn't mean anything. Because money, and people don't need money, they need food. It's famine. So he gives them a big reward, yeah. 10 grand if you grasp up on your brother, okay? Now, can they grasp up on anyone? They can't. They seriously believe that we haven't stolen anything. So, he goes further. He says, وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ. And I am regarding that reward, زَعِيمٌ, meaning a guarantor. Okay, like a guarantor. So what that means is saying, look, 10 grand if you grasp up on the person who stole it. Just come and tell me. And don't worry. I guarantee you'll get that 10 grand. Okay, meaning I'm just a nobody, right? You might be thinking, oh, security guard, come on, how much do you get paid? How are you going to give me 10 grand? And he says, no, don't worry, I'll guarantee that. Meaning I might not be able to give it to you myself, but I guarantee it will come to you. Okay, implicitly, what's he saying? If he's saying I can guarantee this for you, implicitly, what's he saying?
No,
he's not saying that. What's he saying implicitly, Idris? Yes. Okay, yeah, he's saying that, look, Aziz is going to be giving me the money for this. That's fine, but this implicitly is saying something very different.
That is very likely to be with
him. Oh, very good, mashallah, tabarakallah. Excellent. So, if he says, I'll guarantee that you get the money, he's actually saying, I'll guarantee is one of you. Yeah? I'm dead certain it's one of you. I'm not just making this up. It's not even suspicion. I know it's one of you, okay? I can guarantee it. أَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now the brothers are getting seriously scared. Yeah, they're worrying. What is going on? They say, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ. تَاللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ بِاللَّهِ. All means by Allah. Swear by Allah. The difference between tallahi and wallahi is got an element of shock to it, okay? Got a shock to it. Like, you know, seriously. Seriously by Allah. Yeah? Seriously by Allah. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ. You guys, you know for sure. Truly you know for sure. مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We haven't come here, okay, to make a facade. Okay, we haven't come here to cause corruption. You know, we came here last year. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ. You know what we're about. We're not like this. Okay, fil ard, meaning this earth, i.e. the country of Egypt. وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. And there's no way in hell, okay, we're سَارِقِينَ, that we are thieves. See, they're very, very sure. Just from this few verses, we learn something in fiqh, okay, in fiqh. And that is something called ja'ala, yeah, ja'ala. Ja'ala comes from ju'al. Ju'al means reward. This is a type of transaction, which is basically, you know, like somebody loses a cat, okay. What do? They put a notice up, you know, outside on the lamppost that, look, missing cat, you find it, you get £100. Oh, they really love the cat, £1,000. Yeah. This is the type of transaction, because what's happening is you're saying, I'll give you £1,000 if you can do this thing. But how long would it take me to find the cat? How difficult would it be to find the cat? I could find it, like, just walking out there and pick it up, give me £1,000. Or I might have to search for it. Yeah, it might take me a few days. That's all unknown. Now, the thing is, one of the things I prevented in Islamic finance is something called gharar. Gharar means uncertainty. Yeah, like if I say to you, akhi, £10 for whatever's in my pocket. You say, what do you mean what's in your pocket? No, no, I'm not going to tell you, but it's £10. It might be something really valuable, might be tissue. Yeah, this is gharar. These transactions are not allowed because many scholars say because it leads to munaza'a, which means argumentation. So I take your £10, thank you very much. And what do I have? I'm actually going to check what I have. Actually, I don't think I have anything. Sorry, bad luck. I don't have anything whatsoever. So I'll give the £10. Is he going to be happy?
No.
He's not going to be happy, is he? He's going to be furious. So this leads to many ills. One of them is argumentation. One of them is, you know, animosity between people. So gharar transactions are not allowed. Now this ja'ala type transaction, it's got quite a big element of gharar, isn't it? Which is, find my cat, give you £1,000. It might take me a month to find your cat. £1,000, yani, I could earn £2,000 doing another job. It's up to you, akhi. You take it, you leave it. Yeah? And you could even start doing it and leave it. It's up to you. Here are, the scholars say, this is the type of transaction which this security guard was talking about. أَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ. I'll give you himnu ba'ir if you come up and tell me who stole the cup, and if you do, you get this much. A reward. Might take a long time for them to find out, might take a short time, that's all unknown. But the essence of the transaction, which is ja'ala transaction, is inside this verse. And if it's inside this verse, without any condemnation, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispraising it, then it kind of shows it's permissible. Okay, it shows it's permissible. Obviously there's other proofs as well. But based on that, a ja'ala type of transaction would be permissible to do. Yeah, it wouldn't be haram. According to the majority of scholars, yeah, the Ahnaf, the Hanafi scholars, they disagree. They said, no, it needs to be made into an ijara. An ijara type of transaction is more like a business type of deal, which is, I'll give you £1,000 if you find my cat, and you have a month to do this job in, and this is how much you're getting paid for. And even if you don't find it, you might get something as well, because you worked. Yeah, that's an ijara type of transaction. But as for the ja'ala, if you find it, you get something. You don't find it, you get nothing. Even if you look for a year. Okay? Tayyib. So anyway, that's one side point. So as the story goes, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِلَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. So they say, look, we haven't taken nothing. You don't know. You know what we're like. We're not thieves. Okay. قَالُوا. Now the security forces, they say, فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. So what then is the jaza, meaning the punishment? In, if you are lying. Just imagine you're in that situation. It's going, you know, the pressure just being turned up slowly, slowly, slowly. Like, firstly, you're like, no, what have you lost? Mada tafqidun? What have you lost? Yeah. What are these guys talking about? All right, let's go and see anyway. Hang on a minute, they're telling us that if we grass up, we get a himlu ba'ir out of this? Oh. They really think we have stolen it. And now they're saying, if you're lying, what's the punishment? If you're lying, what's the punishment? Now you're going to be thinking, whoa, this is serious now, this is getting serious. So now, they are in a position where they decide what's the punishment. Now if you're a thief and you're told, what's going to be your punishment? What's the thief going to say? Huh? Allow me, you know. Forgive me. If I have done it, forgive me. Isn't it? No one's going to say, yeah, I should go to prison. But you know what? They're confident. They haven't stolen anything. So they say, okay, the punishment should be as follows. قَالُوا جَزَاؤُهُ مَنْ وُجِدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ. we think, okay, that the jaza'uhu, meaning the punishment for this crime, which you're accusing us of, should be what? That whoever you find the cup in, the suwa', whoever you find it, he should be the punishment. What does that mean? It means that the guy that you find the cup on, he becomes the slave to the one from whom it was stolen. Okay? This is a very unique type of punishment, had, if you like. And this is taken from the sharia of Ya'qub alayhi salam, which is, if you're caught stealing, then you become enslaved to the one you stole from. Very unique, any type of punishment, right? What is even more interesting is, according to the king's law in Egypt, that type of punishment didn't exist. If you're caught stealing, what happens to you? Either you are lashed or you're beaten. Okay, there's no such thing as you become a slave to the victim of the crime. But you know what? That's what they suggest. They say that if whoever you find it on, he becomes a slave of the victim. It's quite strange, isn't it, that they would say that. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الظَّالِمِينَ. And that there, what we just explained, that's how we deal with the wrongdoers. Meaning back in Palestine where our father lives and we all live, that's the way we deal with criminals. You know, if they're caught stealing, then that's the way that they are paid. That's the way they are punished. Okay. فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِي. Now what happens is this scene takes place where they're all lined up. Okay. All 11 brothers are lined up. You can just imagine that. All 11 of them are lined up. Okay. Now, this is how we're going to do things. We're going to search you. Search us, no problem. We haven't stolen anything whatsoever. Now the thing is, whose bag is the cup in?
Benjamin.
It's going to look a bit suspicious, you know, if the security guy goes straight for the bag of Benjamin, isn't it? Would you? Straight away you found it? That's a bit strange, isn't it? You found it on his bag straight away? They're going to start thinking. So what happens? فَبَدَأَ. So he started بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ. The wi'a is another word for a bag. It's a type of bag that people use, you know, back in ancient times where they would go traveling. Like sometimes you see this in cartoons where someone's traveling in the desert, they got a stick and they got like a sack tied to the end of it and they chuck it over their back like that. And that's a wi'a. Okay, so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is that فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَّةٍ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ, that the search starts with the others before the brother, before Benjamin. So is this searching now? 11 of them lined up there. First one, nothing. Second one, nothing. The brother saying, we told you, we haven't stolen anything, man. Tell this guy, tell him to calm down. We haven't stolen anything. Look, he hasn't got it yet. No. He continues. Next person. Then, ثُمَّ إِسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وَعَاءِ أَخِيهِ. Then, what happens is, he comes to the bag of the brother. إِسْتَخْرَجَهَا. إِسْتَخْرَجَ from خَرَجَ. خَرَجَ means to take out, to exit, right? إِسْتَخْرَجَ from on the pattern إِسْتَفْعَلَ, which means to seek something. إِسْتَخْرَجَ is seeking it out. Trying to make it look as real as possible. Put his hand in the bag. It's not that. Oh, hey, what do you know? Istakhrajaha. Suspicious. We told you they stole something, isn't it? You see, in this story, there's three words for find used already. Wajida means to find intentionally. Like you looked and you found. There was another word for find. And you remember that word. It came up in the story of Imratul Aziz and Yusuf. Who did they find at the door? Anyone remember that verse? Yeah. How did they find him? What word is used? They find him, لَدَ الْبَابِ أَلْفَيَا. أَلْفَيَا. أَلْفَيَا also means to find. The difference between أَلْفَيَا and وَجَدَ. Anyone remember? For a chocolate. Okay, very close. Say it again. Wajida means you know and you intentionally find. Alfaya means? No, it's very close, Akhi. And I'm going to give you something for an effort, mashallah. Qadr. Alfaya means to find unknowingly. Alfaya lad al-bab. They find Aziz at the door totally by surprise. We didn't mean to find him here, but alfaya, we found him. Istakhraja, another word for find. The way this word means to pretend to find. Pretend to find. Yeah? Amazing, yani ajeeb, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istakhraja, yani seeking out, pretending to find, and what do you know? He finds it. Istakhraja min wi'a'i akhi, from the sack of his brother. So now the penny drops. Wow. This means Binyamin stays in Egypt. This means brothers go back to Palestine and they got to break their father's heart. But you know what? It also means that father's going to come back to Egypt. A great reunion is going to take place. What an amazing plan this was all along. Whose plan? Who? Allah then says, كَذَلِكَ كِدَنَا لِيُوسُفْ. And that there, كِدَنَا, we schemed and plotted لِيُوسُفْ on behalf of Yusuf a.s. Amazing. Everyone's thinking, wow, look at Yusuf's intelligence, smartness, the way he's doing things. How does he know if he does this, this is what's going to happen? Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كِدَنَا لِيُوسُفْ. This is the way we are plotting on the part of Yusuf alayhi salam. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ. It was impossible for Yusuf to take his brother according to the deen of the Malik. According to the king's laws, there is no way a foreigner would be able to stay in Egypt according to the law of the king. Meaning that if they had stolen, then the punishment would have been beating or lashing. And then he would have been told to get lost. Yeah? There's no way that Binyamin could have stayed in the land of Egypt. No way. Impossible. Illa, except, أن يشاء الله. Except if Allah wills it. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, this means that there was no way in which Binyamin could have ended up staying in Egypt, except if Allah created another way. And not only another way that the Egyptians themselves would accept. Yeah, he needs to stay, because they themselves said the punishment is he becomes enslaved. As if a new law was created in the deen of the Malik in order for this plan to be completed. Ajeeb. Illa an yasha Allah narfa'u darajatin man nasha. And narfa'u, we raise darajat, ranks, man nasha, whomsoever we wish. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that this is talking about how Yusuf alayhi salam's rank in this dunya was increased slowly, slowly, slowly till it gets to this point. And Allah said, we do this to whomsoever we wish. Remember back before when we said in the verse, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Yeah? كَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So we were told back there that, you know, when Yusuf al-Islam got to a certain age, we gave him hukm, prophecy, and we gave him knowledge. Gave him so much. But you know what? كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِ. We do that to any person who shows ihsan. In the same way, Allah is saying, you're all in amazement of Yusuf alayhi salam, and true, he has knowledge and rank. But you know what? We put people up in ranks whosoever we wish. Meaning if you do things like Yusuf, live like him, you too will be elevated. نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتِ مَنْ نَشَى. In particular, by giving the person ilm, knowledge. Yeah, it is through knowledge that Yusuf alayhi salam acquired his elevated rank. Isn't that true? I mean, like, the way he comes out of prison, right? How did he manage to come out of prison? Interpret the dream. Yeah, isn't it, essentially? But how interpreting dreams requires Ain. True or not? He requires knowledge. Now that's just coming out of prison. How does he get his case reopened? Well, he gets his case reopened by sending a very powerful message to the king, which is, go and question those women, قَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, that cut open their hands. Again, knowledge in the way he communicates to the king. Yeah? And the same thing, how does he manage to get his family back to Egypt? All together, a plan. And a plan is born out of knowledge. Yeah? So Allah is saying that we will raise people in their ranks by giving them knowledge whomsoever we wish. Yeah? May Allah make us from those people. But now you're thinking, well, he's got serious knowledge, man. And people out there, some people are so knowledgeable. MashaAllah. But Allah says, just a second. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. On top of every possessor of knowledge, there is alim. Someone even more knowledgeable. Yeah. Interesting, Allah didn't say, وَفَوْقَ كُلَّ, you know, فَوْقَ كُلِّ عَالِمٍ. Allah said, فَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ. Everyone who possesses knowledge. Not someone who is knowledgeable. See, possessing knowledge kind of gives the message of, well, they didn't have it, then they were given it. Say, they didn't have it, who had it? Allah had it. Allah is the source of all knowledge. No one has true knowledge. They're only given knowledge. Yeah? ذو علم. They become possessors of knowledge. But even when they're possessors of a lot of knowledge, there's someone else out there who knows more than them. I mean, isn't that what we're taught in the story of Musa alayhi salam, when he meets Khidr? Musa alayhi salam, you know, justifiably believes he's the most knowledgeable person in the world. I mean, he's a prophet of Allah. But Allah tells him, there is someone more knowledgeable out there. Go and seek knowledge from him. Yeah, keeping people in check with humility. طيب. Now, some three lessons, okay, that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions. First lesson that we learn from this passage, that Allah will plot on behalf of His slave, who is a believer, suffering from oppression, yet trusting in Him by facilitating matters which will allow him to exact vengeance against the oppressor. You see, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they wronged him. Yeah, big time. How are those brothers brought before Yusuf alayhi salam? How does he get them to come before him and yani, basically are made so lowly and embarrassed and subject to his will? If he wants, he could kill them all. How did that happen? Well, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that there's a believer. He's been wronged. But the believer is mutawakkil. He's always trusting in Allah that Allah is going to help him. Yeah? When it comes to that type of person, which could be any one of us, then Allah will create means by which that oppressor will be brought before you, and it is up to you. What do you do with that person? Amazing. Because even here Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. Yusuf alayhi salam, he wasn't able to keep Binyamin and subsequently cause a reunion to happen in the land of the king according to his laws. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except that Allah, He willed it. Meaning Allah created another way. Why? Well, because Yusuf alayhi salam was oppressed. And secondly, Yusuf alayhi salam was always trusting in Allah that He's going to help him. No one else. When that happened, Allah brought the oppressors before him, and he was able to, if he wanted to, exact revenge. But Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says Yusuf al-Islam was too noble to go for revenge. It was too noble for that. We'll see that later on. That is beyond him to do something like this. Even though Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that no scholar would say that if he took revenge, it would have been wrong. According to the laws of Qisas, okay, it wouldn't have been wrong for him to take revenge if he did. But he said he's too noble to take revenge. The second lesson, whoever plots an evil haram plot, muharram plot, then Allah will make him the subject of another plot. Subhanallah. He said that if somebody out there tries to plot against another person. Okay, an evil plot, haram plot. And then Allah will make that person part of somebody else's plot. Now just think about that. Who's been plotting against him so far? Okay, we got the brothers, yeah? Allah, Yaqub already said, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا. Then they're going to plot against you. Who's the second person that tried to plot against him? Imra'atul Aziz. Who's the third group of people that tried to plot against him? The women. Niswa of Medina. Three people tried to plot against him. What happened to the women of Egypt when they were brought before the king? What did they say? They had to confess. No, we don't know anything about him evil whatsoever. We're guilty and he's innocent. Second person, Imra'atul Aziz, working in backward order. What happens? Well, she comes afterwards, after the women of Egypt, and then she says, yeah, it's true, I tried to seduce him all along. Yeah, and huwa min as-sadiqin, and he was the truthful one all along. Yeah. Third, now whose turn is going to come? The brothers. Yeah. Now the brothers are going to have their turn where they're actually part of somebody else's plot. Isn't it? They were plotting and they end up being part of the plot of somebody else. Ajib. And Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah says, this is what Allah does. Yeah. Somebody comes up with an evil plot, then they themselves become part of somebody else's plot. Last lesson. We stop here. He said that the believer who places his trust in Allah, if he is plotted against by the creation, then Allah will plot on his behalf and help him in ways that are beyond his control and influence. This is how Allah elevated Yusuf alayhi salam with ilm. Very similar to the first one. Except that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah here is saying that if there's a believer out there, a real believer, and he's plotted against, but he puts his trust in Allah that, you know what, people are accusing me of so many things. Okay, they're scheming and plotting against me. I didn't do anything. And you know what, I can't even clear my name. I can't do it. I don't have the power, I don't have the position to do it. But you know, I'm trusting on you, Allah, that you're going to clear my name. It happens to a lot of people. Defamed, yeah, without evidence. Unable to clear their name. Maybe, for example, they haven't got the money to take the court to case. Yeah? Like many of our mashaykh, yeah, defamed in the papers, unable to afford to get the strongest lawyer out there, you know, to fight a case of defamation. You know what? If they trust in Allah, then Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, Allah will create ways for them. Sorry. Allah will create ways in which a plot will be unraveled against those people. Just like he did for Yusuf alayhi salam. And those new ways are ways that are beyond the control of the person. They wouldn't be able to do that themselves. They didn't have it in them financially or socially. But you know what? If they trust in me and they're believers and they've been plotted against, then I will plot on their behalf just like I did for Yusuf alayhi salam. So this, you know, is sending a clear message to every believer out there. If they've been wronged, defamed, plotted against, have tawakkul in Allah. And Allah will come to your aid. Yeah? Allah will help you. Tayyib, inshallah. We'll finish here, inshallah, after after the salah. We're going to take this interesting masala, which is, did Yusuf alayhi salam accuse him of stealing, which is kind of like telling a lie? Or why did Yusuf alayhi salam put his father through this, you know, when he knows that this is going to break the heart of his father? How do we understand this? Was it a lie? Is it right to frame people? What exactly happened? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah will explain, inshallah. We'll take this after the salah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Okay, brothers. So this is the question here. This verse number 70, where somebody says to the brothers, okay, innakum lasariqun, indeed you are all thieves. Is this a true statement or not? Well, from one perspective, it's not a true statement. They're not thieves, are they? They haven't stolen anything. So if that is the case, what then do we say about the one who said this statement? Yeah, did he say a lie? Is it right then to say a lie? Or maybe it wasn't a lie. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explains. He said there's basically two opinions here regarding innakum lasariqun. The first opinion is that it was Yusuf alayhi salam who said it. But what he intended was a double meaning, in that you are those thieves that stole me once upon a time from my father. Yeah? You are thieves from that perspective. You stole me from my dad. Yeah? You're thieves from that perspective. Or he told his security to say to them, he told the security they are thieves, meaning they stole me from my father. And so they said to them, innakum lasariqun. One opinion. Second opinion is that Yusuf alayhi salam never said that. Security said that. And security said that on their own accord, not under the instruction of Yusuf alayhi salam. Okay? So they're the ones that said it, not Yusuf alayhi salam. So what happens in that case, Yusuf alayhi salam, all he says is the siqaya is gone missing. Yeah, it's gone missing. They then follow up and say, innakum lasariqun. Or Yusuf alayhi salam says, to them they are thieves, meaning they stole me from my father, and they go on and then say, innakum lasariqun, intending not what he intended in them being thieves because they stole him, but because they have stolen the siqaya. Okay, do you understand? Those are two views. But he talks about it from other perspectives though. He says, the thing is, even if we said it's Yusuf alayhi salam, then this double meaning statement, which is called ma'arid, is something we see often in the Quran. Other cases where somebody says something, the listener thinks he means something, but he intends something completely different. And from that perspective it's a lie, but from the other perspective, it's not actually a lie. It's truth. Any examples? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ahsant. Yes, what did he say? In the Quran though. You see, is it befitting of me to put the seat back after I take it to give? This is the masala. Fadl. No, from Quran. Yes. قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَسَأَلُوهُ كَانُوا يَقُولُونَ. Yeah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, when asked who destroyed all our idols, he said the biggest of them destroyed it. Yeah. Okay, is that really true? To say that he destroyed. Ask the big one. Yeah. No, he said قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ. Yeah. Now, that's true. There's actually something else Ibrahim alayhi salam says. Even before he goes to destroy the idols, when dad says to him, come along, let's go to the mela with everyone else, he says, inni saqeem. Indeed, I am ill. But, mashallah. He says, inni saqeem. I am ill. And that's why I can't go. Is he ill? Is he sick? He's sick of what? He's sick of their shirk. And I'm sick of this shirk that you guys are doing. Inni saqeem. Dad thinks, oh, his beta's not feeling too well, let him stay at home. Yeah. Tayyib. That's one thing. So even if he said that, is it really right to him for to say that? Well, we've seen other examples where a double meaning is behind the statement. And the other meaning, which the person intended, is truth, is honest. Yeah. Therefore, what that person understood, even though they understood differently, it's not a lie from that perspective. There's an interesting story about Abu Hanifa rahimahullah that he was sitting. I think he was sitting in masjid in Kufa, and somebody came to ask him a question, and he wanted to be alone, and he just wanted some time to read Quran or something. And he was sitting in one place. And he saw someone coming. And he knew that person wanted to come and ask him questions. So he stood up and he moved and he sat somewhere else. Now this man who he'd never seen Abu Hanifa before comes and he says, Are you Abu Hanifa? He says, Wallahi, he was just sitting there. He says, Wallahi, he was just sitting there. Yeah. So, wallahu alam, yani, this is something we see in the Quran, as well as something practiced by the righteous people. But for a maslaha, for a known benefit, not based on whim, or not based on cheating people, or not based on anything haram. Yeah, based on a genuine benefit recognized by the Sharia. Tayyib. Then he mentions another point, which is, if you now look at, analyze the rest of the passage that was going to come, inshallah, next week, you can see that Yusuf al-Islam continues to use double meaning. Okay, like when the brothers say, you can't take Binyamin from us, إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا, that he's got a very old, feeble father, meaning he's gonna, you know, it's gonna devastate our father if you keep him here. Take one of us instead. What does he say in response? He says, مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ, you know, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ, how could I take إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَدَنَا مَتَاعَنَا عِنْدَهُ, except that we take the one on whom we found our things. Instead of saying, how can we take except the one who stole? إِلَّا مَنْ سَرَقْ. I mean, that would be the simple way of saying, isn't it? We can't take somebody else in the place of the guy who stole. Instead he said, we can't take somebody else in the place of somebody whom we found our things on. Ah, double meaning. Yeah, so he's saying, he's using double meaning there and he's using it there. Yeah, again for a known maslaha. Tayyib. So, the other thing he mentioned, now this is an interesting point, okay, which is, you know, the Prophet ﷺ in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, he said, ليس الكذاب الذي يصلح بين الناس. He's not a liar. The one, meaning the one who says a lie, in order to bring sulh between people, in order to reconcile between people. So, you know, brothers fall out. I'll give you a real example, in fact. This happened to me 3 times, subhanAllah. Brother comes up to me, Tayyib, and he does the adhan in the masjid. By the way, I'm not talking about this masjid. Someone comes up to me and says, I'll do the adhan in the masjid, and you know, we don't have a set muadhin, but I do the adhan, they allow me. And there's another brother who does the adhan as well. And the thing is, I'm supposed to be doing it sometimes, he's supposed to be doing it sometimes, but he does it more than me now. Okay? And he's always trying to do it. And if I don't come on time, he does it quickly. And in another case, they said that what happened, Ajib, is that there's no set muadhin. Okay, so someone comes and does the adhan. Then another person says, I want to do the adhan. Okay, so what happens is that the adhan is supposed to be done 10 minutes before the salah. So the person comes to the adhan. The other person wants to do adhan, he comes before the other person and does the adhan before that person is supposed to do adhan. So he goes, what's happening is the adhan time is going back and back and back. Another person comes and beats the other one and does the adhan. Yeah. So anyhow, what happened is his brother comes to me, he goes, basically he's my friend and you know, this is kind of, I don't like this, that he's competing with me to do the adhan and he kind of robbing me of doing my adhan basically. So anyway, what should we do? And we've kind of fallen out over this now. Yeah, ajib. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Yeah, subhanAllah. They want to, yeah, they compete with doing khair. So they fall now, tayyib. Now, it is allowed for me, tayyib, to say to that brother, you know what, that other brother, he thought that, you know, you don't really like doing the adhan that much. And he's kind of helping you out by doing the adhan. He thought, yani, you didn't really want to do it, so he's coming and... And then I go to the other brother, yeah, and I say, you know what, the other brother, yani, he loves you so much, and you know, seriously, he cares about you so much, but he feels that maybe, okay, you misunderstood him, and he actually just wants you to do it sometimes, and him to do it sometimes, evenly, and he thinks there's a misunderstanding here, but he's too shy to say it to you. Is that really true? Is this really true? Maybe it's not. But the thing is, when I say this to this one and I say that to that one, immediately they're going to think, okay, you know what, it's no big deal. Let's go talk to him and work things out. Or maybe there's nothing to work out. Maybe this is all a big misunderstanding in the first place. It's possible to do this. Yeah. And this is the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, where the Prophet mentions three instances where a person is allowed to say these kind of lies. But what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says is that it revolves around the maqsad. What is the objective behind saying the statement in the first place? In all three cases, which the Prophet highlights that it's allowed to, number one, making sulh between people, reconciling between people. Number two, in times of war. And number three, when a man wants to please his wife. Okay. All three have an objective which is not to do with self-interest. Do you get this? I'm not lying in order that I can acquire some good, or I can, you know, get the upper hand in this argument, or blah, blah, blah. It's nothing to do with me. It's to do with the good for others. Do you see? In regards to the first, it's clear. Sulh. I'm not going to get anything out of lying in this case. It's only so this person and this brother, these two brothers, will be able to work things out. In the case of war, the benefit of the Muslims. Not for my benefit, for the benefit of the Muslims. In the third case, even for the benefit of the wife. The husband has a duty to عاشرهن بالمعروف, Allah says in the Quran, to live with them honorably or hospitably, to create a good home environment. And that, sometimes some man can say, I love you, to his wife. And he loves her, but in that moment in time, he doesn't really feel that love that much. It happens. You don't love the person all the time, or the same level, all the time, I love you, and I felt it like I felt it when the first time we got married in the first night. No, it's maybe not the same, but to say I love you, and my love for you has never decreased whatsoever. Yeah. Why? Why? Just so the wife becomes happy. Yeah, just so the wife becomes happy. It's true, you should do this. You should do this. And no one should interpret my words to mean that a person can be bad to his wife and then lie to make it up. No. I said that a person has to treat his wife well and do everything he's supposed to for his wife. And he can make her even more happy by saying things to this effect. Yeah, saying things to this effect. So in all three cases, the maqsad is to do not with your own interests, but to do with the interests of others. Okay. The same thing can be said here in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam. He said, "Innakum lasariqoon," and the maslaha is what? The benefit is to bring about a reunion for the whole family. Yeah, and this is one of the ways in which it will happen. That I accuse them of stealing, they go back home, and then they have to bring dad back again. And when dad does come back, he finds out it's me. The whole family is reunited once again. Yeah, this is sulh taking place. So, we said other things before. So this is how we understand the statement. Yeah, innakum lasariqoon. That even if he did say it, then there's legitimate grounds to say things to this effect, okay, in this particular case. And most probably he didn't. Yeah, most probably he didn't. Now, the other interesting thing is, well, even if it's considered a lie, which you're allowed to in this case, that's just about the brothers. What about the father? Yaqub alayhi salam. How is he going to feel when he finds out that Binyamin has also lost now? And Yusuf alayhi salam, you're the one who's planning it like this. So here Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that the reality is that this isn't Yusuf alayhi salam's plan that he's made up by himself. كَذَلِكَ كِدَنَا لِيُوسُف. Clearly, explicitly, Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كِدَنَا. We are plotting on behalf of Yusuf alayhi salam. Meaning that Allah is instructing Yusuf alayhi salam, do this, this and this. Okay? And to be honest, this is the best way to understand the whole thing. Not just because it's some things are unexplainable, but because the verse says it itself, كَذَلِكَ كِدَنَا لِيُوسُف. Now, interestingly, here Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that telling Yusuf al-Islam to do something which is going to harm his own dad is kind of like the instruction he gave to a father to harm his own son. Anyone know what we're talking about here? Ibrahim al-Islam and his own son. That he's supposed to sacrifice his own son. Now, Allah telling me to harm my own son, conversely, Allah telling Yusuf alayhi salam to harm his own father, that's so difficult. And he said this is a very unique test where Allah tells someone to do something, a prophet, which is wrong. Yeah, which is wrong. Because they are going to have to overcome the natural, you know, fear, anxiety, you know, in doing something which is wrong, because they know Allah wants me to do it. And that, he said, is a level of ibtila that is only given to the elite in order to complete their rank before Allah and earn their rewards. Without this, they wouldn't have earned such a great reward. So this is the way Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explains it. He said that Allah ordered Yusuf alayhi salam to do whatever he did. And it included doing something which harmed his own father, which is very much like Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to harm his own son in order for them to achieve an elite rank before him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sense? Yeah. Okay, inshallah. We finish here. Subhanakallahumma hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.